Well, again, welcome to A Good Word for Today, dear friend. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. May we use it for your glory. Father, as we open your word now, lead and guide us. May the words I speak be yours, not mine. And may we all have ears open to hear what you desire to say to us. In the name of Jesus, we ask it, and for his glory and for his honor. Amen and amen. Well, we're in a series of messages today concerning God's ways and man's ways. We found that God's ways are not man's ways. Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 6, is our theme for this entire series of messages. Let's listen to it again. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, these words tell us that God's ways are higher, much, much, much higher than our ways. His thoughts are far, far above our ways. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Omniscient. All-knowing, dear friend. He is also omnipresent. He's present everywhere. Why? Because he is spirit. Now, we find that man's ways are deceitful and desperately wicked. Now, we're talking about natural man. Man that is yet unsaved. Man in his natural state, in his natural condition. The way we came into this world as a son of Adam. We are wicked in our ways. We are evil in our ways. God's word tells us that in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, for example, and I don't have time to read verses 5 through 10 there, but verse 9 says, "The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And we read also in the Word of God that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. We need to understand that the natural man, and as we think as a natural man, our thoughts are evil, our ways are evil, and that's who we are naturally, because we're sinful as a natural person, as a natural man. Now, when we're born into the kingdom of God, and if we then yield and submit and surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us instead of allowing our flesh to lead us or our carnal way of thinking to lead us, then we walk in the way of righteousness, the way of God. But even as a child of God, we face a choice each moment of every day. Whether we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and walk in the ways of righteousness, or we follow the ways of the heart, the ways of man, the ways of the world, and thereby walk in the way of evil. We're walking one of the other, dear friend. We're walking following the Holy Spirit and thereby walking in righteousness, or we are walking in the way of evil and following the things of the world, following the things of the devil. Now, let me point out that there's only two different entities here. There is God, who is good. Everything from God is good. Every good and perfect gift proceeds from the Father above. God is the very definition of good. And then there is evil, and that's Satan, the devil. He is the very embodiment of evil itself. Now, everything fits into one of those two categories, my friend. Now, mankind would try to come up with other categories. He would try to say, well, there's a way of man to follow his own way, not to follow the devil or to follow God. Well, if you follow the natural way of man, you're following the way of the world. And since we're sons and daughters of Adam, we are born into sin, dear friend. We're born into the state of sin or the condition of sin, and we must be saved from that state or condition of sin in order to have eternal life. And Jesus is the one who saves, my friend. So we need to understand that God's ways are far above our ways. God's thoughts are far above our thoughts. And we need to understand that the Bible makes it very clear that as the natural, unregenerate mankind, we are evil. Our thoughts are evil. Our ways are evil. They're totally against God and anti-God and anti-good, if you will. So that's who we are in our natural state. Even the best man, even the best woman of the world, the most humanitarian man or woman of the world that is unregenerate, that has not been born again of the blood of Jesus Christ, not a part of the family of God, his ways are evil. His motivation is going to be wrong. It's going to be selfish. I've seen men, you have too, who have desired to give great sums of money, but their desire really is that they be known, that a monument be built to them, that a great plaque be erected to say how much they gave and how much they did for the church or for this organization or for the country, whatever. The motivation of man inherently is evil. It's selfish, my friend. It's prideful. And that is who we are as an unregenerate people. So we need to be changed. We need to have a new spirit within us, the Spirit of God, that will bring to us the nature of God to demonstrate in us and to demonstrate through us. Now, we've taken time here to also talk about the ways of God in terms of our learning about God. And that's a second point that we've made that I think we need to reiterate again today. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. That is the way of reason. That is the way of knowledge that we call, and I'm referring to man's knowledge, not true knowledge. True knowledge comes from Jesus Christ, because all wisdom and all knowledge is hidden in Christ. That's what the Bible makes very clear to us. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 make it very clear that all wisdom, all knowledge is hidden in Jesus Christ. Now, if we're to have true knowledge and true wisdom, it comes only through Christ. It comes only from Christ. It is to be found only in Jesus Christ. Now, I emphasize this point because the world says something different. The world bombards us, and many times in the name of religion, we are bombarded with something very different, a self kind of made person, pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, making ourselves better. We can make ourselves better by simply changing the way we think about ourselves. No, we can't, my friend. We can think that snow is black, but that doesn't make it black, my friend. We can think that our heart is good, but that doesn't make it good, my friend. We can't change ourselves by thinking or by our thoughts, my friend. The world says that. The world will tell you that, but we cannot. Our nature is what it is. It's an evil nature. It's a sinful nature. It's a nature that is in the condition, in the state of sin, the son or daughter of Adam, and we must be saved out of that state, out of that condition. When we become a son or daughter of God, God transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, my friend, our reasoning ability, our thinking ability, our earthly knowledge, our human knowledge does not get us where we need to be, where God is concerned and where spiritual things are concerned. Now, our human reasoning may help us to learn mathematics or science or English or any of the other subjects of mankind. But our human reasoning has limitations. It's very limited when we approach the things of God. Why? Because His ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. For us to begin to understand the things of God, then we must do what the Apostle Paul stated that we must do to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I've shared this with you before, but this is something we need to keep in our mind. Let me read just chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 10 and following. Now, verse 14 is the one we want to get to, but I want you to get the entire context of this scripture. Beginning with verse 10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit." Get that now? God revealed these truths through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God." Now that's referring to those of us who are saved, of course. We've received the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us when we invite Jesus to come into our heart and into our life when we're born again. Verse 13. Well, let's go back to verse 12. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." Now notice, Paul is saying we don't learn these things by human wisdom, we learn these things by the Spirit. "But in those things taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." Now here's verse 14. "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot discern them or cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned, appraised, understood." There you have it, dear friend. We're taught by the Spirit, not by human wisdom. We learn by the Spirit of God, teaching us and speaking to our spirit, spirit to spirit. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, this is background to our message today, our series of messages dealing with the ways of God and the ways of men. We need to understand that they're very, very different. They're like poles apart. The ways of man, the natural ways of man, are evil and wicked, and the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Who can understand it? The thoughts of man are only evil continually, the Word says. Our best human works of our human hands, coming from our human heart and human mind, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Yes, that's what the Bible says. So we're trying to do the best we can for God. God still looks at it as filthy rags. It is so far short of the things of God that it's still in the category of filthy rags, filthy righteousness, my friend. Oh, what's the answer? The answer really is for us to surrender and yield to Him and not be doing our own works, but allowing God who lives in us and dwells in us to do His works in us and to do His works through us. That's the secret of the life of the child of God. That's the secret of doing works of God, not works for God, but works of God that God is doing in us and doing through us. Now, in the world today and in the church today, there is so much of doing things for God, for God. And I fear that that is coming from human thought and human reasoning and the human mind. And if it is, my friend, it's falling far, far short of the things of God. The answer, again, is for us to get ourselves out of the way, to crucify ourselves daily upon the cross of Calvary. And we yield our bodies as an instrument in God's hands so that He is able to work in us and to work through us and to do His works. Yes, we're created unto works of righteousness. We're created to do good works. But we need to remember that the only thing that is a good work is the work of God, the work that is done in us, the work that is done through us by God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And we yield to Him and allow Him to work in us and to work through us to do His will. You see, that is very, very different. It's like night and day. It's very different from one who is saying in his own heart and in his own mind, I am doing this work for God. This is my ministry that I am doing for God. Let's watch our terminology. It may betray the intent and motive of our heart. If we're doing things for God, we need to check ourselves very carefully. Because when we're doing the human things, the human reasoning, the human mind kind of things for God, they're still filthy rags in His sight. We need to be surrendered and yielded and letting Him do things that are of God. There's a big difference. I hope you're hearing that. I hope God's Holy Spirit is emphasizing that to your heart today. The only works of righteousness are those works that are done in us and done through us by God Himself. They're God's works that He does in us and through us. Now, we may look to others like we're doing it. Our hands are doing it. Our voice is doing it. We're doing it. But we are a yielded vessel in God's hands, and He is speaking in us and speaking through us and working in us and working through us. If you'll notice, I pray at the beginning of every message, God, may these not be my own human words, but may they be Your words spoken in me and spoken through me by Your Holy Spirit. That's the only kind of words that are going to be of lasting value, dear friend, in our lives and in our hearts. Oh, my friend, let us yield to God. Let us surrender to Him. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. Remember that Jesus Himself said, many will say to me in that day, have we not done great works in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? Have we not achieved wonderful great things in thy name? And Jesus Himself says in Matthew 7, depart from me, you who work iniquity, or you who work sin. I never knew you. Now here these folks were saying we're doing great things in the name of Jesus. We're casting out demons. We're building great ministries. We're working our little fingers to the bone for Jesus. And Jesus says, you're in sin. What you're doing is sin. Why? Because man's best work coming out of the heart of man, coming out of the mind of man, is filthy rags in the sight of God. It's sin, for the heart is evil and desperately wicked, and who can know it? The thoughts of a natural man are only evil continually. They're against God, and we must be changed. We must become a new creation in Christ Jesus before that can change, my friend. We may look at an unsaved person and say, well, they're a pretty good person, and many are trying to get to heaven by their good works. It won't work, my friend. They'll split hell wide open, just like the worst sinner there is, because they're not yielded to God, they're not surrendered to God, they've not been born into the family of God. That's the only way, you see, we get to heaven. And really that brings us to our first point today of the ways of man and the ways of God. The specific. I want to deal with some specific things concerning the ways of man and the ways of God. And it's very interesting for us to make this kind of study. Now, the first one I want to deal with is the subject of salvation. You see, man thinks of it very differently than God. Man tends to think of it from his own perspective, from his own point of view, you see. Man has just got to get works into salvation in some way. It is within our human nature naturally. You see, we want to achieve like Satan. I will ascend to the heaven. I will sit on the throne of God. You know, that's the deception of Satan to Eve in the Garden of Eden. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. That is the heart of a sinful man. That is the heart of a natural man. That's the heart of all of us before we're born into the kingdom of God, because we're in the state or condition of sin naturally. So there's the first great deception that I want to deal with is the deception that many have and many hold and many teach concerning salvation. Now, it can be said, I think, very simply, in some way, works become a part, at least a part, of salvation. Now, mankind's natural way of thinking is he attains salvation through his works. Just amass enough good works and God's going to let you into heaven. It's going to kind of depend on how the scales tip. If your good works outweigh the bad works, God will let you into heaven. That's man's thinking, and it's wrong. It's not found in the Bible anywhere. It is totally and completely wrong because it's man's way, not God's way. Now, even as the church, even in religion, we try desperately to get works in there in some way. Even if we look at God's Word and we read God's Word and we believe God's Word, for example, if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where we read that salvation is a gift of God, it is not of works and not of man, lest any man should boast. Now, you see, if works were part of salvation in any way, beginning, middle, or end, man would be boasting about it. I did it. I did it my way. Remember that song of Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. I don't know of any song that would wrap up the heart of man and the natural way of the world better than that song. I did it my way. But there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. We need to remember that, dear friend. We need to know that. Now, let me say this, dear friend, in just a simple statement. Works do not enter into salvation at all. We are not saved by our works. We are not kept saved by our works. There are some Christian religions, some denominations, who will preach, for example, that you in order to keep yourself saved, you've got to have good works. Well, my friend, let's remember again what Jesus said about the work of man. If we turn to John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, you've heard me perhaps say this before, but it's so, so important, my friend. It's so important that we get it. Jesus was asked the question in John 6, 28, "Good Master, what must we do to do the works of God?" Now notice the "do" there. What must we do to do the works of God? Now that's a legitimate question, an honest question perhaps. And notice it's plural, the works with an S, works of God. So the question Jesus was asked, "Good Master, what must we do as mankind? What must we do to do the works," plural, "of God?" Now, the answer of Jesus is very, very interesting and very, very important that we hear and understand and get hold of. In John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus answered this question. And here's the way he answered it. If you really want to do, if you're really interested in doing the work of God, and first of all, he used work, not works, the work of God, singular, really focused, you see, he said, "Then believe in him whom God sent." Believe in him whom he sent. Now, what's he saying? If you really want to do the work of God, then believe in me, Jesus was saying. Believe in me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, my friend, believing in Jesus Christ is our work. To believe, to accept, to receive Jesus Christ. Now, it's the same kind of work that you do at your birthday time or Christmas time when somebody hands you a gift. Do you do anything to get it? No. It's a gift. If you do something to get it, it's not a gift, my friend. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it, you see. So salvation, let me say it emphatically on the Word of God. Let me say it with confidence, knowing that I am speaking the truth of God. Salvation is of God. It is from God. It is a gift of God. There is nothing involved in it as far as mankind is concerned. We receive it by believing and trusting and accepting. Now you can say, well, there's some work. We believe. Yes, Jesus said that's our work. He said that is our work. Now, he didn't go ahead to say that we have a lot of work to do after that. He said that's our work, to believe, to trust. To please God, we must walk by faith, not by sight. My justified ones, the ones who I have justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, shall walk by faith and not by sight. That's what Jesus, that's what God says in his work. Now, I'm not sure that I'm going to have time, but let me try here very quickly. Salvation is a gift of God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Salvation is supplied by Jesus Christ through his death, his burial, and his resurrection upon the cross of Calvary. In the book of Hebrews, for example, chapter 7 in Hebrews, I want to take just a moment to read a little bit of that, and I'm going to run out of time here very quickly. But if you'll read chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10 of Hebrews, you'll get it all. You'll get the picture. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, but he, referring to Jesus Christ, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently, speaking of Jesus Christ. It's contrasting the earthly priesthood and the heavenly priesthood, the priesthood of Jesus and the priesthood of man. So he holds his priesthood forever. Why? Because he lives forever. He abides forever. Verse 25, hence also he is able to save forever. Get that, my friend? Save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Oh, that's a beautiful verse, isn't it? Wonderful, wonderful teaching from God's Word. Now, if we turn to Hebrews chapter 9, for example, and look at verses 11 through 15 very quickly, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, the one not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And for this reason, I'll skip down to verse 15, and for this reason he is a mediator of a new covenant, in order that since a death has taken place for the redemption of transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance, which is in Christ Jesus. And very quickly, over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, one sacrifice for all. Verse 12, but he, Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. You often hear me say, Jesus paid for all sins, for all mankind, for all time, in order that he may save forever those who trust in him. Salvation is free. It's a gift of God. It is available for whoever will come in confession, come in belief, come in acceptance of the salvation that God offers to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hey, that's good news, isn't it? That's a good word from God's Word today. Well, thank you, dear friend, for joining me on A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. Hey, we dealt with the first of those topics today, and we're going to be dealing with quite a few more. There are many things that we have reversed. We tend to think of it from man's point of view. We need to remember that God's thoughts are far above our thoughts. God's ways are far above our ways. The natural man is evil. The natural thoughts of man are evil. We need to remember that spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned, taught by the Holy Spirit, speaking to our spirit. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. We need to open the Bible like the Bereans and search the Scriptures daily to see if this thing is true. We need to listen critically to all the messages that we hear, to everything that we hear, no matter where it comes from, no matter who is speaking it. We need to listen critically. We need to listen with the Bible open, testing by the Scriptures. For something to be true, it must square with the Scriptures. It cannot violate the Scriptures. It cannot be opposed to the Scriptures. And we need to balance the Scripture. Scripture must be balanced with Scripture. We don't need to look in and just pull out a verse and let that verse say something to us. We need to know the context of that verse and where it's saying. For example, many will point to the verses in Matthew and Mark and the Gospels that where Jesus said, "Ask whatever you will and it shall be granted to you." Well, if we pull that verse out of context, we're misinterpreting it altogether. Because Jesus points out very clearly, if we keep it in its context, that when we abide in the vine, when we're in Him, when we're in His will, when we stay as a branch attached to the vine, then we'll bear fruit. Then we can ask whatever we will, because we'll be asking in God's will, my friend. You see, our prayer is more along the lines of getting us to agree with God's will than it is trying to twist God's will to match our own. You see, that's man's way of thinking. God, I want you to do what I want you to do. And God says, no, I want you to get in my will and follow me and do what I ask you to do and do what I direct you to do. That's God's way, dear friend, not man's way. And we need, of course, to be very aware of that and to be very concerned about that and to follow the will of God. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our ways. We are to yield to Him. But you know, I love that scripture that I read from Hebrews a moment ago. He, Jesus Christ, is able to save forever those who trust in Him, those who believe in Him. You know, Jesus Christ is the answer. Let's listen to this beautiful song by the Duffields, which tells us that Jesus Christ is the answer.